It's a Monday on RBKD. Today on the show, lots of talk as Texas blows another lead. Oklahoma State fallout. Well, those Cowboys came back. So did the Cowboys on Sunday. We're getting a lot of help, but they still got it done in New England. We recap all of that, including the Big 12, and what the hell was going on at Neyland Stadium. Trust us, other UT, we're frustrated too. That went a little bit too far. He went from DB High to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet discriminates against white condiments. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before it ever was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you and your whole team. That's my man, my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
Beautiful day outside. Beautiful weather this
weekend.
Gorgeous
outside, man.
So nice to not have to get up early to ride my bike.
You did that?
It's so nice not to have to do that. I did on Saturday.
So you can sleep in because the sun, you're not trying to dodge the sun.
Right.
Yeah.
No, got up Saturday and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go get some coffee now. I'll do
you
this a little bit later.
You actually can get a noon bike ride in and you won't die.
Good to go.
In Texas, you try to get a noon run or bike, bike ride in the summertime.
You're screwed.
You could get heat stroke. No, you could die.
Yeah.
Like it's that dangerous. So, it feels great outside. Nice up. Nice picnic weather. You guys,
balling on a budget,
like picnic, little chicknick, go get some Chick-fil-A, pick up a couple of Bud Lights or some champagne, whatever you like, and then head on out to the park, man. She would love it.
She would, and you can ball on it, too.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah.
You're welcome, because that'll get you some points.
Tell her this is better than Uchiko.
It's a cheap date.
And cheaper.
Guys need cheap dates, man, because ladies like lots of dates. And then if you run out of ideas, then you're just paying money for expensive dates.
Yeah.
Going out to really nice restaurants, and you're just paying a lot of money. But if you're creative, she doesn't know you're being frugal. She just thinks you're being spontaneous.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. It's a thin line between spontaneity and just being frugal.
And just being cheap.
Yeah.
I like how you say frugal.
Yeah, frugal.
The way frugal. I put it. Frugal. I'm not cheap.
Frugality.
I'm frugal.
Yeah, you got
frugality.
Henry was frugal. Henry was not cheap, even though he made us wash paper plates. Anyway.
Continue. Well, the Lubies. What was the Lubies? Make your own lemonade?
Yeah, Pops. Yeah, we wanted to buy some lemonade. I think it was like $1, maybe 99 cents for some lemonade. Now, Pops went to the table and then he stole a bunch of lemons. I stole it, but took a bunch of lemons.
Yeah, it was there. It's
it was
free.
There. And then sugar. And
sugar's
then,
free.
And then we just make our own lemonade at the table.
I don't think they expect the people to put their brain together and do
that's
that.
That's definitely not their intention.
They've got $1 lemonade on the menu.
But the lemons are free and the sugar's free, as you said. But the lemonade costs money. But if you just combine the two, boom, easy money. And the water's free. So
what do you do, drink by drink? Or did he ask for a pitcher?
No, drink by drink. Everybody made their own lemonade to their own specifications.
Okay, so you can add to it. Add sugar.
Oh, man, I did.
I want more lemon.
I think mine was, my magical formula was 3 lemons, 3 sugars, and it pretty much worked out perfectly. Perfect little lemonade for me as a kid.
It was a fantastic story.
No, actually, it just taught you about frugality.
I understand.
Being financially responsible.
Yes.
That's all.
Which is a big part of parenting.
You're damn right it is.
All right, man. That was another one on Saturday. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Good post game, man. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. I heard you go off. That's all right. Hey.
Gets to that point.
I think everybody understood your frustration.
I don't get to that point a lot.
You do not.
And when I do, it tells you
that
there's probably a lot of other people at that point.
It's been pent up for a while. That's all.
It has. It's frustrating, too.
Frustrating.
Because
the team could be 6-1.
They could very easily be 6-1, and you're sitting in this bye week now. And then at that point, we're talking about stuff this team's really not capable of. Same thing's going on in Stillwater right now. There are fans calling probably someone and saying, this is a playoff-type team. No, you're not.
No.
And this is not a loser shot at them. They flat out beat Texas.
But they have a chance to win the Big 12.
It's a really good football team. They absolutely could. Absolutely could.
And would that put them in the playoff?
Even then, they're not a playoff team.
But you know what I mean?
It's
like,
my top 25.
So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree. Off the top of my head, having the conversation, I'm like, no, they're not a playoff team. But can they win the Big 12? Yes.
Yeah.
And both of those things can be true in your head. Like, yes,
right.
I don't think they're a playoff team, but yeah, they can win the Big 12, and S-ish happens.
Both those things can happen.
Yeah.
But give them credit. Kind of everything we talked about with this team, they did. They played the 60-minute fight, And with so many possessions and so many three and outs for Texas again in the second half, it wears down a defense that doesn't have a lot of talent and doesn't have a lot, certainly doesn't have depth. We know that. And you can expose certain things. And Texas, it's frustrating because you get out to that lead. We've talked about script, talk about the lack of adjustments. And this game was partially lack of adjustments for Sark especially, but the whole coaching staff. And then also, as I pointed out on postgame, I mean, I think we have to kind of wrap our head around and be realistic what the college talent is right now with their development and who they are and who they have been for three to four years. Yeah. In some cases, maybe only 2 years, but they're working around a lot. And that could come off as an excuse for the coaching staff. Hey, at the end of the day, it's up to the coaching staff to make that change. But when I hear about making changes and see that probably a little bit too much on Twitter, I'm thinking, y'all, we're 7 games in, and I think that the issues he was dealing with, Sark and the staff, are probably bigger than we thought with deficiency of talent.
Yeah, I think Sark realizes that too.
Oh, he does. He's not going to say it. So don't listen to him whenever he says, you know, we got the guys here to do that. You have to say that. You can't say, look, in all reality, there's not a lot of talent here right now. Or it's been messed up.
And I believe this is the post-game presser, not the media availability today, which you heard live right here on the Horn. He brought that up. Someone asked him a question, and I think the media's doing a really good job of asking him questions about stuff. And he's great at giving you as being as forthcoming as he can be.
As he can be.
Because he's still a politician to a certain extent, and I get that's some co-speak. But he's giving you some insight if you can sift through the detritus and the minutia.
He also didn't get pissy. Yeah, and then turn into a six-year-old like some coaches do at a press conference.
You can tell when he's chippy. I mean, you can tell.
It's a little chippy.
But like, hey, he's like, you know, but it's not disrespectful.
No, it's not immature.
And I get it. I wouldn't want him chipper after a loss. I want you to be a little bit upset because I'm upset. But here is Sark. He was asked by a member of the media about, are you now starting to, you know, get to know your team now and maybe some of these issues that, you know, fans have known about for a while, maybe now that you're starting to see some of these issues materialize on the field.
I think that's fair. You know, I think like anything, you know, practice only shows you so much about individual players, about schemes, about, you know, offense, defense, special teams, and then your overall team. And like anything, as you navigate your way through a season, things show up, and then it's our job as coaches to try to get those things fixed as quickly as possible. And sometimes it's individual players or technique or scheme, or sometimes it's psyche. And to me, coming out of this game, it was about psyche. And now seeing it 2 weeks in a row, really, where we can't play cautious. We can't play trying to hold on. And I think that we do that. I think that we just are hoping the other team might make a mistake. And Oklahoma State didn't make the mistakes. They just kind of kept playing their game. And ultimately we made the mistakes that caused them to get back into the game and then ultimately take the lead and win the game.
Yeah, so I think he's learning now, okay, well, you know what, either in practice or through preparation, I have to game plan and prepare for that, this team now, in the way they respond either to adversity or the fatigue late in the game. We don't know. I think it's multifactorial. I think it's a lot of different things as to why you're seeing the team's production late in the game start to wane, right, when it should be closing time. It should be time to close out the game. It's winning time. You're up. You've proved to be the better team for three quarters. Go win the game. And when it's time to win the game, the adversity hits because the other team pushes back. Why not? They got pride.
Yeah.
They think, you know what? You know, it's fight or flight for us. If we don't make a move now, we're not going to win this game. They're going to close us out. Let's go. And when that time hits, when that point of critical mass happens, right, the team is not responding the way you would like, right? You'd like them to respond just the way they did to open the game in the first quarter, where they came out hair on fire. They were executing, crystallized focus. And the execution was at a really high level. You're not getting that. You're getting the poor end of that, specifically on offense.
Right? Yeah, but you're also getting a defense that is worn out because the offense does go three and out. So that's where the complementary football really ruins you.
Yeah.
But you're also not getting adjustments with coaches. And
it's multifactorial.
And some of that can be multifactorial. I can't make adjustments because, as Sark said today, we got to figure out what we do really well and what we don't. Well, the reality is there's a lot of what you don't do well. And so it limits how you make those adjustments and how you actually try and move the football when the other teams and coordinators have made really solid adjustments and have figured out what you were trying to do all week against them.
And I'll say, and I agree with that, and this is, you know, I don't want to be that critical of Sark. You know, I think his opening script and game plan really was, it was wonderful. I mean, I watched it.
Again.
It was great. I'll break it down later. People don't want to hear that right now. We'll break it down later this week. But it was really, really good in terms of how he, you know, isolated matchups, used different formations and personnel packages. Really, really good stuff. Right? What happened was the last six drives of the game. Essentially, you get the 4-3 and outs, you get the turnover on downs, and then the pick. That's your last six drives of the game. And I think what's happening in Sark, because we agree, Sark, when his game planning is fantastic, right? He's identifying matchups, identifying weaknesses of the opponent, and forcing them to adjust. I think one thing that Sark is missing, though, and it's just from the, because I think that, like I said, them not closing out a game is many different factors, just looking at the coaching factor of it. I need him almost, it's crazy to say it like this, plant more Easter eggs throughout the game, right? Well, one of the first things I said on Friday that I want to see Texas do is throw the deep ball. Chunk it early and often. Why? Not only because you were successful versus Oklahoma, 4 of 8, right? You threw the deep ball more than you ever thrown it in any game this year.
Now, it's the only game they've done that well.
It's the only game they've done it well, but you should have been trending, right? Just assume you're trending, right? He always talks about positivity. He's Ted Lasso. Assume you're trending, right? Bet the hot hand. But what's
Ted Lasso very positive?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Extremely positive guy. You know how many deep balls Texas threw in this game?
Oh, it was one or two?
One.
Yeah.
I mean, they connected on? One.
One.
Marcus Washington. That was it. It was a one ball they threw over 20 yards.
Wide open, too.
Wide open. They actually had an empty formation. Woo-hoo! Who's been talking about that? Anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, it was great. Right? That's part of the opening short. They never really went back to throwing the ball deep. And why do you have to throw the ball deep? What do I always say? It's like planting a seed. It backs everybody up. The defensive coordinator starts thinking about it. The cornerbacks start thinking about it. They open their hips a little quicker. Opens up all your underneath routes, your hitches and your curl routes, all that stuff. Because I was a DB, the one thing I know I cannot give up is a deep ball.
Yeah.
Everything else like, we can
and
work with.
And it plants the seed actually right away. Usually the next play, the next 2 seconds,
come
that
on
cornerback's
up
thinking about it.
Either so you don't connect on it.
That's an Easter egg that's found right away.
Right. And I think later in what Oklahoma State does, and we all know this now watching them, Joe Klatt talked about it on the game. The reason they're the best third down defense in the country last year and they're top 15 this year is because on third down, they force you to make the low percentage throw. They're going to put everybody within the sticks. A bunch of bodies there.
And they did that on the most crucial one.
They did it on a bunch of crucial ones, right? Just, no, well, yeah, you're right. You might have it deep. You might have it, but you know that's a lower percentage throw. And you miss it. It's going to be punt teams out here, and we win. And I think there are some quarterbacks and coaches that are hesitant. I don't know if they just call less deep balls or the quarterback just doesn't throw them or he doesn't believe he has time, whatever. But those deep balls, you throwing them throughout the game, it softens up that coverage. They start to believe, man, these dudes will throw it. They will throw it deep. If I don't make sure that I'm the last line of defense, or if I don't make sure I turn my hips, or if I don't make sure at that wide, if I'm trying to bait and looking at the quarterback instead of the man, I am done. And all those things open up different levels of offense. It's like, it, like I said, it plants a seed, and you can reap what you sow later on in the game. All right, and that's why go watch later on the game. Watch the third down. I'll show you some pictures third down in the game later in the game, like the third and fourth quarter. They are mugging the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about third and long. No. Mugging the line of scrimmage.
And they're mugging the sticks,
and
too.
Playing bump and run. Yeah, I'm like, what? They have no fear of your vertical pass game. None. No. And they were like, you know what? They haven't thrown a deep ball all game long. They threw it once, and they connected on it. Let's see if they burn us again. If they burn us, they burn us. But right now, we're going to go win the game because we don't think they can do it, and we don't think they're going to do it.
Right. And part of the reason they don't think they can do it is because they haven't been able to do that outside of last week.
Outside of Oklahoma, right?
So, I mean,
the film study.
The big sample size would tell you they're not good at that, and that's not something I'm going to be worried about. That may have worked. It may not have.
No, that's just one thing, though.
But that's one little
thing, right?
Yeah, that's one little thing.
Maybe plant that seed,
but there are, like you said, it's multifactorial. Yeah. There are so many other issues going on that may not be fixable.
But think about you know, I'm just talking from a play calling perspective, right? You put Keelan Robinson in once to get that 25-yard run. He also got a 1 yard, I think, carry in the game, but that counted at a reception, at 25-yard gain. But what it did, right, it horizontally stressed that defense.
Yeah, I was glad to see the media, and I don't know if they have been. I haven't listened to them the last couple of weeks, but I've been all over the Keelan Robinson thing. I'm glad to see that has... That has steam.
But think about how they want to compact. Oklahoma State wants to compact they want to shrink the field. They want to take away space, right? That's why they want to bump and run receivers on the outside. They want to mug the line of scrimmage. You're trying to create space. They're trying to take it away. And when you stress them horizontally and vertically, they have to loosen up. They can't compact everything like they want to. The corners got to back off a little bit. Those linebackers, we can't be mugging the line of scrimmage. I got to worry about containment. Dude comes in again. You know what I mean? Those are the types of things. Those are the Easter eggs you plant early, which he did, and then he didn't reap what he sowed, though. You sowed it, but you got now to go reap it. Reap it in the third and fourth quarter. And we didn't see enough of that.
No.
Later on in the game, all throughout the game, consistently.
Because, he planted it a little bit, but it didn't have any effect.
Yeah, seed. They didn't care.
They didn't care.
They didn't
respect it. So they were like, all right, I don't respect it. So horizontally, especially. That's where, because vertically... they're going to be, I'm not sure they're going to land a lot. Horizontally, you can do that.
You got enough speed to do it.
You got enough speed to do it.
Zay can do it. X-Man, let's just say. Can do it.
Keelan can do it.
I'm with you. That's just a couple of little things that we brought up and talked about last week. That, hey, man, if it's game planning, these are things you probably need to do to kind of soften up Oklahoma State's defense. Because you ain't going to, it's hard to deliver. Texas delivered some haymakers. Texas reminds me a little bit of, remember them old Mike Tyson thought that, you know, when Mike Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas, it was only like the sixth time he had been taken past the sixth round.
Yeah.
And everybody believed, like, you can get Mike past.
Just get him into that.
You can get him past the fifth round, and you got a shot. Now, you may not make it because he's going to knock you the blank out. You know what I mean? And that's Texas, right? And that's Texas early on, Texas Tech couldn't make it. They just got knocked the blank out, right? Rice, Louisiana, you got knocked out. You couldn't handle the initial first five rounds. But if you can get past the first five rounds with Texas, just kind of get them into a little boxing match.
Right.
Late, you got a shot. In the fourth, just make it a fourth quarter. That's what happened with Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. Got him into the 10th round? I don't know what it was. And he looked like he had a shot. He got knocked out in that fight earlier. But he got up.
Got up.
It's just like Oklahoma State,
Mike
they got
was out
up.
Of shape, and there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Mike had a lot going on. He went to jail after that. But anyway.
Mike had a lot going on. So Rod's right, it is multifactorial, and none of us have the answers. You don't at home.
No, nobody's got
it. I mean, no one knows what the real problem is. I do think there are a lot of them that go into it, but you can give percentages and try and throw that out there. But it's up to Sark. This is a huge bye week, Rod. You're 4-3. Like you said, you could be sitting at 6-1, could certainly be sitting at 5-2 and feeling much better about it. And the recruiting momentum is kind of outside of what's going on this year, but this year can certainly build that. And so we'll see how this huge recruiting weekend was affected by the way they played. I tell you what I would be telling them is we got spots open, and we got spots open right away. And you got to trust us that we're good at our job and that we are handcuffed and there's only so much we can do with this talent.
Yeah.
That's got to be the sales pitch.
Yeah.
Which you got to be careful with that. But.
Well, yeah, you can play right away. At some positions. There are a lot of positions, I guess you could say that.
A lot.
That you'll be able to play right away if you're a baller. I mean, that's the thing.
Linebacker, secondary, offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, and maybe quarterback.
Maybe quarterback.
I mean, we'll see.
Well, I'm just saying, Casey's got one more year, Hudson Cards.
I watch a ton of college football. And I watch a lot of different other teams.
True.
And when I watch this team, they're not that talented. Period.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Period. I can't disagree with you. At 4-3. I mean, what am I gonna say?
Yeah.
I mean,
they could be 6-1, and I'd still be telling you that.
6-1, I'd probably debate you. It'd be a hot debate for me. But right now, at 4-3, I am inclined to agree with you. And that's a hill you've been willing to die on for probably about 2 years now. That it's more of a talent issue than people would like to admit. But that goes to a deeper issue about recruiting rankings and how much they matter and how valid they are then, the validity of them overall, too. Because that's a really deep discussion.
And also juggle multiple ideas. I know you can. You have to have a certain number of guys that are big time to actually compete. It just doesn't guarantee that's going to happen.
No, I agree.
And also guys get ruined in bad systems. So I'm not blaming this all on the kids, too, because they've had how many different position coaches?
Development has to be an issue, and development and consistency.
Development's probably the biggest issue.
Once again, I feel like we use this word a lot, but it's multifactorial. It's a lot of different things.
It is. Most things in life are.
Yeah. It takes away
lazy arguments. But.
I think for Longhorn fans, though, I mean, Sark's right in a sense. You do have to look at the glass half full that, yes, they are losing these games late, but you could argue they're ahead of schedule if you want to be positive. For some, you can argue they're ahead of schedule. We don't know how the season's going to play out right now, because if these issues remain chronic and then end up losing them 2-3 more games, then we got a problem. But that means you couldn't fix it.
Couldn't fix it.
That means,
but you may not be able to fix it.
You know what I mean? But as a coach, you're a problem solver. So if you can't solve the problem, you at least got to be able to put a Band-Aid on it so you can win. You can win games. That's your job as a coach.
Yeah.
So you got to do something.
Or at least alleviate the leak.
And when you got the best running back in the country, it also. Sorry, that's less of an excuse.
You got a
built-in problem-solving kind of cheat code right there.
Agreed.
In Bijan Robinson.
You got the best running back in the country. You've got one of the worst Power 5 offensive lines in the country. Mix those two together.
That could very well be true, but some teams ain't got that.
Some teams don't got either, right?
Twin Peaks has got everything you need. And every guest that visits Twin Peaks is greeted by one of the Twin Peaks ladies. They ensure that your experience exceeds expectations. That signature 29-degree draft beer served up in a perfectly frosted 22-ounce mug is perfect to put you in that Twin Peaks state of mind. And maybe you can use it to drown your sorrows if your team loses, or to celebrate tomorrow if your team wins. Either way, Twin Peaks is the spot. Every delicious dish on the menu made from scratch. If you're a baller on a budget, you need a new favorite lunch spot or a new favorite happy hour spot. How about lunch at the Peaks or happy hour at the Peaks? They have light yet hearty filling combos at great prices. Twin Peaks wall-to-wall TVs as well, so you won't miss any of the big games. You can catch all the action from every angle. At Twin Peaks, you can be sure you won't miss any of the game day action. And for you fantasy football connoisseurs out there, you can hang out at Twin Peaks and watch all of your different players on your roster, all the different games there. Also, you need somewhere to watch your Major League Baseball playoffs, you can do that at Twin Peaks as well. NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, Monday night football, which is tonight, Thursday night football, all of that can be a much better experience at Twin Peaks. The one near you might be the Round Rock location or the San Marcos location or the Stassny location. Never selling at Twin Peaks. You don't have to. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views.
Talent deficiency or not, you cannot have 1 yard, total yard in the fourth quarter. I mean, and get out game like that. And you talk about the rushing attack. Once again, Texas outrushed by almost 100 yards. I mean, it was around 80. And almost 200 against Oklahoma. So if that's going to be your bread and butter and you get outrushed, is this team?
I mean, your identity on offense should be Bijan and the running game, essentially, because your running back room is so talented. So I agree with you. That's, you know, that offensive line is a big part of that, too, and the offensive line blocking, that's something you should take pride in, maybe being able to dominate. And Texas lately has not been able to kind of dominate. They've been productive there.
Yeah.
But with all the flaws that you have as a team – in terms of complementary football, that's one phase you need to, or at least one area you probably should try to dominate.
What did you see from Casey?
Yeah, bad game. I mean,
some people were talking about the hand.
Yeah, I just thought he was off. It could have been the injuries, but yeah, I mean, Casey, I don't think he had a great game. And it's one of those things where if you have your offensive line, which is going to be consistently average to below average, and then your quarterback has a bad game, that's more of Bijan having to step up. If your quarterback has a bad game, then that means the rest of your passing game and your receiving core is probably going to be struggling too, and we saw that as well. I think they miss Jordan Whittington. I think they miss
having another
versatile weapon.
Rewatch, you could really feel it.
Right? Because if they got the speed of Joshua Moore and X-Man, and they got Bijan, right, and the running backs, and that's nice, but it seems like they're missing this other kind of versatile piece that Jordan Whittington was. He brought this physicality to the passing game where you can line him up flex and then give him a little pitch, or you know, you could put him in the slot and he could catch a hitch, but he's trying to get yards after catch because he's a running back when he gets the football. I do think they miss that weapon and how, I don't know, I just think he's how multifaceted he was, really. I think we just took it for granted. That's why on third down, he was your money man.
He was the guy.
He was the guy,
and
man.
He was the guy Casey's looking for.
Exactly right.
Casey was sacked 3 times, too, in fairness to him.
Yeah.
And look, the offensive line said it from day one, said it in the spring. They're going to have to scheme around them, and they're having problems doing that. We saw Tope Amade start for the first time at right guard. Yeah, rough.
Yeah, it was rough.
Rough.
I agree. They're going to be shuffling things around the offensive line probably for the rest of the season. Let's just get used to that.
They would be. I would open these 2 weeks up, too, and tell them. I would look at Bijan and say, outside of this guy, every job's open.
I can't. Oh, X-Man.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, a freshman has earned his spot.
I wouldn't replace him, but
yeah, in terms of being a freshman, I got to say it. Exactly. Yeah. I can't let a freshman be with
them. They got true serum, I'd say. There's actually a couple other guys that aren't going anywhere.
No, I like 95 that.
95 starting too.
I like that attitude, though. I mean, I'm with you on that attitude. I think, you know, something, I mean, and we can go through it later. I went and tracked it. I mean, that after that Bijan Robinson touchdown, I think you have, 9:40 left in the third when Texas gets their next possession after that Bijan touchdown. It's really interesting how Shark's right that everybody took turns screwing it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was play calling. Sometimes the players just didn't execute. Sometimes it was a penalty. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes Oklahoma State just made a great play. It was every time it was like, oh, they were so close to getting a first down, somebody would mess it up, and they just never could get in the groove.
It all turned at 17-3, though. That's where you could feel it, where it felt like this was going to be too far for a really – average offense with not, you know, explosive guys to be able to come back, and huge interception for a touchdown, pick six, and it just never, Oklahoma State used that and just kept on building the way they do.
Yep, no question. That was a chance.
Give them credit, man. Give the Cowboys credit as they come into Austin.
Gundy's a hell of a coach.
He really is.
He is, man. He's a good coach.
He really is. And you see him dancing after the game?
I saw him dancing out of the game.
Doing the dance. Hey, you earned it. Cowboys, yeah, the other Cowboys were dancing last night, too, and they also came back. They didn't get a lot of help from really anyone in that game, but they did it on their own. It goes to OT. Also, Dak wearing a walking boot. We'll hit the boys up next.
Welcome back to RBKD. A little KD karaoke happening in the background, too, on a Monday edition of RBKD. You can always watch the show. Go to hornfm.com. You should be able to tap into the Twitch stream there. Also, you can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. And my man John Reichel DJing the Monday edition of RBKD is at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse. Did KD request this?
I did not.
You would think so.
Oh, you would think so,
you did.
Yeah.
I felt like he did.
Okay.
Yeah, the vibe for today is, look, it's Monday. We just got done with two, you know, losses to Oklahoma. We just need some chill stuff, just some good vibes.
Agreed.
0-2 versus the state of Oklahoma.
Keep our blood pressure low.
Yes.
In between these segments, because I'm sure they're going to get a little fiery. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got all my yelling off this weekend, so I'm good. KD got his out. Well, KD got his out on the postgame.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Now I got my yelling out this weekend.
Got mine out on the air. That's always fun.
And shout out, I got a chance to watch the game at the New South End Zone Club.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
It's legit. Man.
Were you in a suite?
No, I was actually in one of the seats where people supposed to sit, where all the fans were upset.
You had a lot of room.
Yeah, hold on. Tons of room.
Did you sprawl out?
I was one of the few people that actually sat up there a couple of times and going down to the club and hanging out. But it is, that field level access is amazing. You got Bevo and his own little pen down there hanging out. And then essentially they only close it off. And that close off like the walkways. It's like three different sections all connected. And when the players come through, or I imagine Bevo comes through, which I wasn't there for that, they'll close it off for security reasons.
Okay.
Other than that, though, I mean, it's wide open. It's pretty freaking sweet.
You got your all 22 if you're high enough, too.
Yeah, you see why nobody sits in those seats up there, though. I mean, the club is pretty swanky.
Club's nice.
The club is really, it's really nice. So,
can't make the club too nice.
Well, it is. Everybody's deciding, I'll take the club over the seats. But yo, shout out to CDC and all the folks over there, man. It's a great experience. So, shout out. It was really, really good. I actually hung out there. It's my first time I'd been to a game this year. I hadn't gone to a game so far. So, got a chance to do it this time.
How was the atmosphere?
The atmosphere was great. I mean, it was a recruit. I saw a lot of the recruits down there because, I mean, Arch was down there and hanging out.
Evan Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the guys with the badges. I couldn't identify them. So I saw the recruits. So, I mean, they were having fun. I mean, there's a lot of stimulation for the young guys. Other than the game, Longhorn fans are concerned. Oh, man, we lost the game. So the recruits, man, they're not going to come to Texas. Recruits are, they're teenagers. They don't take it the same way you take it. they all believe when I come here, it'll be different.
As long as we get enough of me.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, these jabronis here. That's why they can't win. Wait till they get a load of me. That's how every team. No, I'm serious. That's how every 16, 17 year old thinks. And why not? They should be thinking like that. Yeah. I thought that too. I was like, oh, wait till I get here. We're gonna turn this damn thing around.
Hey, there's 16, 17 year olds that think that aren't good at something.
Exactly.
They're good at this.
They're good at this. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I saw some of the recruits. They looked like they were having a good time. They're having a good time.
Yeah, well, I mean,
think okay. Now you got to win, though. You can't just be losing all the time. But I don't think just, you know, one loss and their one visit is going to sway their decision immensely.
You can't lose all the time, and they can remember all the fun time they had on the visit and how they see themselves fitting
exactly.
in Austin at UT.
Come on now.
But you got to start winning a little bit.
Yeah, you got to start winning. And I think what really hurts is Sark's offense in the second half. No, in terms of recruiting.
Yes,
that really
absolutely.
That hurts you. And I guess, like you say, you just flip it and go, well, hey, you know what? We just need you. That's what Mac would do. Mac would be like, well, we just need you. And then
I'm telling you,
you'd fix all our
problems.
The sales
pitch has to be good, and it's got to be personnel. It's got to be, hey, we got everything set up but you. Or I've got another idea. Take him to, like, I don't know, VY's Steakhouse at halftime.
At halftime?
Yeah.
Well, what? Why?
Because the way we play in the second half.
You know what?
Have it be a one-half. First half
that
trip.
That is true, considering
first
the way
half
they play.
Trip. That's what the visit is.
Oh, man.
Where are we going? We're going to the lake.
We're to the lake.
Second half?
Yep. We're going downtown. Yeah, we're going downtown early.
We're going to be able to watch it? Yeah, we'll see.
We're going to Yellow Rose. Yellow Rose, second half. How about that, guys? All right, Dallas wins.
They won't see you down, man.
You will miss a lot of the game.
They won't see you down.
I tried watching the game there. Get distracted very easily. Dallas won 35-29 in overtime. A thrilling win. Over the Patriots. I said they cover. And I was stressing about that.
And
I was stressing about my advice that they would cover.
And I put my own money on it.
Did
I
you?
Had by far my worst weekend in college football. I just got my ass handed to me when beat the pluck.
Did you?
Actually ended up coming out even.
Huh? What, really?
Alabama covering and the Tennessee Ole Miss under. I weighted those the most. I put the most on those. And every other game I lost, and I won the Cowboys.
Hey,
three got me. I was like at negative 10, minus 10.
Isn't
which
that
is,
what Mr. Price says, dude?
Cover.
He says basically
yes,
whatever
I
you're
waited,
surest about,
I waited.
That's what you go the most in.
And that's what I went with.
Nice. Well, there you go.
Everything
Took
else.
The man's advice.
I was dead wrong.
So, but as long as you bet somebody on the Cowboys, you'd have been.
I did. Okay. I took your advice.
Yeah.
I
was stressing.
Here's the deal. And here's the other thing. When you've got money on it, too, it's so frustrating because, I mean, they didn't get jobbed in this game, but Dak did score a touchdown that they didn't give to him. And
okay, you could argue that.
There were a couple times where they're early on in that game, they're going in and something happened. Dak throws an interception that gets deflected. It just felt like that game never should have been as tight as it was. But the Cowboys end up covering because CeeDee Lamb and not kicking the field goal.
Wow. It was a great game.
It really was.
I mean, Trevon Diggs with the pick six.
And then getting
beat.
Beat. Hey,
on the out and up.
I want to ask you this as a cornerback.
Great.
So
play.
When you saw him kind of give up there and fade away, he thought Kazee, the safety, was coming over and he didn't want to collide.
He assumed he had
He
assumed he had over the top help that
and
the safety was coming.
Thought it was Diggs and thought he's probably goating this guy and is about to jump up and make a pick and I don't want to run into him.
Diggs was playing it like, okay, no, I'm going to undercut it because I know I got a safety over the top. So if he throws it too far, my safety's got it. And if he throws it on a line,
I got it.
And that's why I think he went underneath instead of going to the top field shoulder, the upfield shoulder, and the safety took a terrible angle. You got to give credit to the receiver, though, because I believe at the last second, the receiver, Bourne, he almost, you watch it, he changes his path at the last second.
I rewatched that a bunch.
He takes two steps before the ball gets there. He like changes his trajectory. It's weird. And then the safety completely misses, whiffs. But that was smart by the coaching staff of the Patriots because Diggs is so aggressive. He's so aggressive.
Right.
He's uber aggressive. Even in that situation, he's like, dude, this is the one time you shouldn't be aggressive. He's like, nah, I'm going for it.
And they're like Texas. You don't expect him to throw deep.
You don't. Yeah, you're right, because the Patriots don't throw deep.
They just don't.
They don't. They're a high percentage
passing
game.
Getting back to your point of at least set those seeds out there. And also, they're clearly not expecting it.
No.
I mean, the one failed conversion on fourth down, and they showed it. They gave you the all 22, and they showed the linebackers just straddling the sticks, and there were three of them.
Yep.
Just thought, oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Book's out. Mm-hmm. Book's been out.
Been out for a while. But the Cowboys, I will give – got to give Dak some credit. I love this stat. Dak's 445 passing yards because they leaned on Dak. And, yes, Dak did leave the press conference with a boot on.
In a boot.
He said he landed weird on his calf on the touchdown throw, I believe, to CeeDee Lamb. Yep. He landed weird on his calf, and he said he's not worried about it at all. He seems to be very like cavalier about it. So I think with the bye week, that I think that everybody's really optimistic that it'll just be a short term injury. So we'll miss some practice time, but nothing too serious. And we haven't heard anything yet, so I assume they've already probably MRI'd it or looked at it and assumed that it's probably a strain or something like that. But either way, Dak's 445 passing yards are the most ever against the Patriots in the Belichick era.
That's nuts. Some of the stats that people were putting out were crazy.
That's a freaky stat.
Here's a nutty one. He's never thrown an incomplete pass in four career OT games.
What?
He's never thrown an incomplete pass in four career OT games.
He's
18
crazy.
For 18,
wow.
214 yards, and three game-winning touchdowns.
Man.
He's got a 155.79 passer rating in overtime.
All right, I'm going to try to top you with crazy Dak stats because right, that one is pretty damn crazy.
That's a tough one.
So that's four overtimes, zero incompletions, 18 of 18.
Yeah, no sacks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
153 passer rating.
All right, I'm going to try to top that one. And this comes from my man Bobby Belt TX. He's worth a follow for Cowboys fans, man. He's awesome. Dak, here are the highest passer ratings in NFL history when the game
stealing it.
Is tied in the fourth quarter overtime. Dak Prescott, 148.3. He's number one, all right, in passer rating in NFL history when the game is tied in the fourth quarter or overtime. Rich Gannon is second with a 111.6. So Dak, 148.3. I wouldn't have guessed Rich Gannon either. So there's a huge gap, Grand Canyon size gap between Dak and number two. But man, the Dak stats are crazy. Yeah, all the anti-Dak people, I mean, they're pretty quiet now, and they should be.
And they should have been quiet for a little while. That's the reality. That's probably the best one. So I think there were a couple others.
Good ones. I got another one that's kind of freaky.
That one is that's the best one.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing at he is an MVP discussion. Let's be honest. I mean, right now, I know Josh Allen plays tonight.
Yes.
Correct? I don't think of who else besides Josh Allen and Dak should be. I guess Tom Brady's always in that discussion because he's Tom freaking Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
Man, I'm telling you, right now, Dak has a chance to win an MVP because the Cowboys are playing so well. And we know right now the defensive player of the year front runner has to be Trevon Diggs. Dak has 16 passing touchdowns in six games, the most in Cowboys history through the first six games, too. So he is he's at another level. And the play calling is so in sync right now with what, you know, kind of Dak's strengths. He and Kellen Moore.
Kellen's going to be head coach soon.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there will be a lot of openings. Oh, you think he'll stay in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
He won't go to college.
No, he'll stay in the NFL.
Because he had the college option, I thought, with Boise State.
Yeah.
And decided, I'm an NFL guy.
I don't think he was.
I don't
want to
recruit.
It was also Dak's ninth career 400-yard passing game that ties, it's the most in franchise history, and ties Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers for eighth in NFL history.
How many offenses are better than the Cowboys right now, in your opinion, in the league?
Honestly, in my opinion...
Yeah, I might go three.
But I'm gonna say one.
Okay, I'm talking about as good too. I'll go as good or better.
Yeah. Okay. Cardinals are as good or better.
I think the Cardinals are. Yeah. I'm with that. The Cardinals I got at the top, and I love the Bucks because of the Bucks. But I've seen the Bucks struggle. I haven't seen the Cowboys offense truly. They've seen them struggle in patches.
It's the second best offense I've seen this year.
I think you might be right. I think it's...
And you could argue that they're just as good as the Cardinals.
You could argue. I think the Cardinals are a little better because I think they got more... I'll say more weapons. How can I say that?
They do, though. Weapons.
But I think they might have more...
And they just added one.
Slightly more. But the Cowboys have a better backfield overall. It's really close. But you're right. They might have top three best offense in the NFL right now. And their defense, it's just a playmaking defense.
It really is.
It's not consistent. I don't think it's necessarily that structurally sound. But they got some guys that just make plays in timely moments. And Trevon Diggs is obviously the biggest example of that. And now his record. He's got a chance to now set the all-time single-season interceptions record.
Yeah.
He's on that kind of pace. According to NFL research, he's the first player in Super Bowl era history to record at least 7 interceptions with multiple pick sixes during the first 6 games of a season. I mean, that is some Deion Sanders type stuff going on. And shout out to Greg Zuerlein, because, man, he got it together. I mean, that was a clutch field goal that he hit for the Cowboys to get it into overtime. So Cowboys are clicking on all cylinders right now. I don't know how many teams I would say were just straight out better than the Cowboys right now. Maybe 2 or 3. They can play with almost anybody in the league, though. And that's not them being totally healthy. Imagine when DeMarcus Lawrence comes back. Imagine when Neville Gallimore comes back. Bossman Fats added to the secondary. And they're going to be – Lyle Collins comes back. Michael Gallup. Dude, they're going to be even more formidable. Cowboys – E. Hogan's got to worry about – E. Hogan right now is probably – starting to at least consider he might have to walk to Dallas. He's at least considering.
He is.
He's never been threatened with it in the 20 years he's had that bet.
I talked to him about it. It's an amazing bet because he really hadn't been.
He hadn't been threatened with it, really.
But I think he's starting to think about it.
He's starting to think about it. He might have to make some calls if the Cowboys keep this up. He's going viral with that.
He is. Oh, I'm trying Dallas. To find it. I saw a great tweet about Trevon Diggs and... Jalen Reagor, and his numbers are actually better than Reagor's.
Who?
Diggs.
Oh, like as a receiver?
As a receiver.
Because he's making so many plays on targets, basically, per target. Yeah, I can believe that.
It is. Trevon Diggs, 7 catches, 142 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Reagor has 17 catches for 140 yards and 1 touchdown.
That is pretty good. It's a sad stat if you're on the other side of it, but for Cowboys fans.
Oh, you're loving that.
You can laugh about stuff like that right now, man.
Eat it up right now.
Yeah, to the victor go the spoils.
All right, one more. I got one more for you.
Oh, give me, man. Cowboys stats are crazy right now.
They were fun going through them. So Diggs is now tied for the 5th most interceptions of any NFL team. He's also scored 2 touchdowns this season. That's more than his brother, Stephon, Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, and Kyle Pitts.
We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
John, you've nailed it on these Mondays. Unfortunately, it's been after losses where you're just trying to calm down all of us. People in Austin. Another tough loss for Texas. We'll get back to that. Talk a lot about that, obviously, all week long. Kind of speak good time. Sark kind of talked about it in the press conference. Just kind of figure out where you're at. He talked about scheming so much. Then may get back to some fundamentals as well. This team needs whatever the coaching staff can give them. Big 12 still wide open. Got to give Caleb Williams and Oklahoma some love. I did think that was going to be much tighter than it was. And you know, if you would have told me TCU scores 31, I would have said, okay, they're going to cover. That's going to be 38-31, right? 41-31, 52-31, Rod, Oklahoma with the route. And it's one of the things they've done so well is that as they're trying to figure stuff out, they get W's. As Texas is trying to figure stuff out, they get hung with L's.
They're better at, I would say, coaches are problem solvers.
Yep.
And they're better at solving problems on the fly. Solving problems as they go, as they win, as you say. For Texas, those problems are debilitating. They have to lose, then go back to the drawing board, learn their lessons, and then regroup and refocus. Nothing wrong with that.
I'll go back to the drawing board if the bird will help. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a very talented bird. Yeah, exactly.
That's a very talented bird.
Whatever.
Maybe that bird can tackle. So who knows?
Can that bird block?
Can that bird block?
What's the biggest bird? John, what's the biggest bird out there?
I'd have to say like an emu.
Okay.
Australian government like sent a war against emus and lost. So.
Mm.
Oh, what?
That's a fun little story. Did you not know about that?
Random.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, emus or infestation in Australia, and the government was like, we're going to go send our military to eradicate the emus, but they were too quick and too many of them and too hardy, and they lost.
Oh, they got outsmarted By emus?
And yeah. It sounds like out-physicaled.
It was more out-physicaled than anything. There was just so many numbers. And you take a look up what an emu looks like. They're like, they're the closest thing to dinosaurs that we have.
They're huge. Yeah.
They're huge. They're mean and they're fast.
They look prehistoric.
Yeah, it's like,
that's
and so
crazy.
They
I never heard that story.
Officially lost the war on emus.
That's a fantastic little nugget right
Man,
there.
Man, that is crazy. I did not know that. That's a little Craig Way factoid. I like that.
I am rabbit holing or emuing holing that.
Yeah, go into it. It's fun.
Baylor, man. Let's give Baylor. Dave Aranda's done a really good job with this team. Once again, another Baylor coach kind of turning it around. We had questioned their schedule, understandably so, but now they're 6-1, and they beat BYU. And I mean beat them, 38-24. They beat them actually, it feels like even worse than that. But this felt like a three-touchdown type game for Baylor. And
they put it on them.
They put it on them, man. And that's Texas' next opponent. And that'll you get a week off. Then you go to Waco for...
And they get a week off.
And they get a week off,
they
too.
They get a bye week, too.
It's going to be a 7 a.m. kick.
So this is
going to... they're going to try and do this as early as possible.
I like both teams having a bye week. Because I think you'll really get a great coaching chess match now between Jeff Grimes and Kwiatkowski. And then Dave Aranda going up against Steve Sarkisian. And, you know, one of the things that I love about, and I've said this about Baylor even before I knew Aranda was going to do a good job here. I said, Baylor doesn't hire bad when it comes to football coaches, man. They
football
know.
Football coaches.
Well, right. But, yeah, you're right. They do a good job of hiring, period. But
they've hired well,
you're right.
Period.
Yeah, I was just talking about football coaches, though. They don't seem to miss because they know who they are as their football program. They know who they are.
They have a good understanding of who they are and, more importantly,
who they want to be
and who they aren't.
Oh, very true. Yeah. It takes a little humility.
All three
to know
of those kind of come. Yeah,
I'm
what
not.
You're not.
And then, so Dave Aranda was another great hire by them after the Matt Rhule hire. And he brought in Jeff Grimes. And that was a great hire by him because he was the BYU OC.
He was BYU. Good
so
call.
He that probably is why they beat him so bad.
And he knew that?
He knew this team very well because he was with that team last year.
I thought about that, but I played the other card.
They know him too.
That they know him.
Yeah.
So you never know how that's going to play
that's
out,
true.
Right?
You can go both ways.
No, trust me, you can go both ways, but there's only one way to go on this, and that Jeff Grimes knew them and knew their
not
talent.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, not there's anything wrong with that. But how about this? Abram Smith, 27 carries, 188, 7 a clip. Tristan Ebner, 8.6 a clip, almost gets to 100. They pretty much had almost a 200-yard back and a 100-yard back. They didn't ask Gary Bohannon to do a lot, and that would fit really well with the Texas run defense and say, we're going to stick with that. We're going to wear these guys out. We're going to get into the fourth quarter. There's a guy who really does a good job covering Baylor football. I'm sure there's a couple of them, but one who really gets into the X's and O's, and I'm going to see if we can't get him on for next week. And he kind of came out on Twitter and just said, you know, I've got by really good sources, I've got pretty or good authority, I've got a pretty good idea of what Baylor's going to try and do against Texas. It's going to be, I know. I was like, well, we all do. But he actually did a good job. That's why I kind of laughed when I saw it. But then I saw what he got into, and I was like, okay, that's what you should do. But the fact that that's already in the Baylor offices.
No, we should have him on.
And that they haven't even looked really probably at film that much yet because they're looking at BYU and knew they had an off week. They may have been Bob and Mike Stoops putting the videotape in there, and 5 minutes later saying, "Yeah, I think we got this."
Yeah, no, I know what it's going to start. Listen, their bread and butter is the wide zone. That's what Jeff Grimes brought there.
I was talking more on defense stopping the offense.
Okay, well let me do the offense side for you.
It's
the
easy
offense,
too.
their offense runs the wide zone. That is their bread and butter. Everything is layered and built off of that. And Texas has a problem stopping the outside zone,
right?
Which is a cousin of the wide zone.
That's what they're going to do there.
And now, the edges for Texas are really weak. So
now the Baylor defense that he was talking about. That's still not splitting the atom with the Texas offense.
No, I want to get into that, though.
But you're going to get into single high, and they're really going to try and be gap discipline with Bijan, and they feel like they're probably going to match up. They did a really good job against Jaren Hall and this BYU team. So shout out to Baylor, man. It's not getting any easier. When you look at the Texas schedule, they could lose to Baylor. They could lose to Kansas State. They could lose to Iowa State.
West Virginia's on the road, correct?
West Virginia's on the road. They could lose to West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia is sitting at 0-3 in Big 12 play.
I don't think so. But you're right.
They could. I'm not saying would. They could. Iowa State's starting to get their stuff together a little bit. 33-20 over Kansas State. And how about this? Iowa State is favored for next week.
Against?
Against?
Who are they playing next week? Oklahoma
State.
What? What?
They're favored by 7.
At home?
At home.
Man.
Just to show you what take on Oklahoma State, that was certainly not, and I've got nothing against Oklahoma State, and they flat out beat Texas and out-coached them, out-adjusted them, all that. But I'm going to be real about it. Oklahoma State is not, that's why I said they're not a playoff team. I think people still look at them and they're waiting for them to lose.
Well, Vegas definitely is, because Vegas had Texas favorite over them, too.
I'll take Oklahoma State with that.
Hell yeah, because of Purdy. And I used to be the biggest Purdy fan. I am now anti-Purdy. I'm not going to let Purdy ain't doing it to me again. No, they're going to make Purdy look bad.
Purdy,
I guarantee
Purdy
you.
To you.
Yeah, they're going to make Purdy look bad. Sorry. Sorry. They're going to make Purdy look bad.
So there are a couple games like that. So Wisconsin is on the road at Purdue. Purdue's 25th in the country now. I mean, they're 4-2, and they got that, obviously, because, well, there's not a lot of top 25 teams at the back end to actually put in there, because we've had, I think, 43 or 44 ranked teams have lost now.
Oh, yeah, it's been
this year.
Chaos. So
I mean, it's been total chaos, which has made it fun. But Wisconsin's a 3-point favorite on the road against Purdue. Iowa State, a 7-point favorite, unranked against 8th-ranked Oklahoma State.
What?
10th-ranked. There are two top 10 teams. They're both on the road, but are dogs this week.
That is unbelievable.
Oregon, 10th-ranked Oregon, is at UCLA. UCLA, a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I don't know that matchup as well, because I don't watch enough Pac-12 football. That Iowa State matchup is a bad matchup against Oklahoma State. That loves to play man-to-man, and Iowa State doesn't have great wide receivers.
I see
they
where you're
can
going.
Stop the run. Breece Hall is not as dynamic as Bijan Robinson, and Brock Purdy is a turnover machine. Nah, I'm sorry. I'll take Oklahoma State.
You made your case there, and it was a good one.
Yeah.
All right, there's some Big 12 stuff. We'll continue to obviously get into the Big 12 and what really still is a wide-open league right now. Texas has put themselves in a spot, though. They've done that a lot the last decade, and actually even a little bit more in this conference. 1 hour down, we got 3 hours to go. Up next, we will promise you to talk a lot of Texas-Oklahoma State, but we're going to get into some of the bigger college football games and NFL games. Arizona stays undefeated. They looked great. Baltimore rolls. Iowa, Arky, Florida all lose. We're hitting it up next.